We do give you thanks for your holy word, for the truth that is contained therein, and for the privilege of looking to it and studying from it and being built up by it. We pray that you would open your word now to our hearts, open our hearts to hear and to respond in faith to the truth of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 16, beginning with verse 1, and reading through verse 12. And the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and to test him, that is to test Jesus, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. He answered them, "When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah." So he left them and departed. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. Jesus said to them, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And they began discussing it among themselves, saying, "We brought no bread." But Jesus, aware of this, said, "Oh, you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. May God bless his word as we look to it this morning. The religious leaders of Israel were greatly upset by Jesus, by what he had been teaching, by what he had been doing, by the fact that he was disputing many of the things that they held very dearly. There were many contradictions between what Jesus did and taught and the traditions and rules that they had established for Israel. And in our passage for today, we see them once again confronting Jesus. And we'll see Jesus teaching his disciples and us to be very careful as we seek to discern the truth. In Israel, there were various groups of people, various persuasions, various understandings of what was right and wrong, what they should believe, what they shouldn't believe. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, often leaders among the people, were unwilling to accept the reality of Jesus. The fact that God had promised a Messiah, that the scripture they had pointed to very clearly, and he was there in their midst. They didn't want Jesus because they had developed their own approach to God, a man-made approach, and so they looked for ways to discredit him. And they've come once again, and they keep coming. Jesus is confronted time after time after time by the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees here to test him, to see, in this case, if he would show them a sign from heaven. Prove that you're really who you say you are. You talk about being the Son of God. The Son of God? Well, if you're God the Son, then you can do all the things God can do. And so give us a sign. Give us a sign. Show us something to prove that you are who you say you are. And it's interesting to note that the Pharisees and Sadducees were typically at quite odds with one another. They were religious enemies. The Sadducees believed in a more strict interpretation of the written law. And they also believed that there would not be a resurrection. And so, what you did on earth, that was it. No life after physical death. The Pharisees, on the other hand, believed that the written law could be interpreted to fit their needs and desires, and that the interpretations were what the people should believe. And so they went and they came up with all kinds of interpretations of every little thing they could think of to make sure they covered every base. They believed that there would be a resurrection, and that those who faithfully kept their interpretations of the law would be acceptable to be in the presence of God. And so we have these two groups that they're not agreeing with each other, but they are agreeing that they don't like Jesus and they don't like what he says he has come to do. And so they unite and they demand more signs, in spite of all the signs that they had already seen Jesus give. Think of it so far in his ministry. We've seen him turn the water into wine. We've seen him heal the sick. We've seen him feeding thousands of people with virtually nothing. And they'd seen all this. They were there. They were eyewitnesses. It's really amazing when you think about it. These people were eyewitnesses. And they saw Jesus doing these things. They just come from seeing him feed 4,000 people. Probably some of them were there. Some of these people were there. Maybe they had eaten that food that Jesus miraculously gave to them. They wanted a sign. You see, their purpose was really to discredit Jesus. Not to take any sign he gives as proof that he truly was the promised Messiah. And so there were several things that they were hoping for. One was that maybe he would say, I'm going to do this or that, and it wouldn't happen. That would prove that Jesus wasn't God the Son, because God had the power to do it. If he did perform a sign for them, then they'd say he used the power of Satan to do it. And they had said that already. And so they were trying to catch him no matter what. And if he refused to perform a sign, then they'd go off and say, well, he lacked the power to do it. And so he's afraid to perform a sign for us. He must not be who he says he is. And so they had it all figured out. And they came to Jesus demanding a sign. Jesus shows them how they focus on the trivial things in life while they refuse to discern the truth. And so he speaks about them. They can forecast the weather. They look up in the sky, and apparently enough times when it was red in the sky in the evening, you could say, well, it's going to be fair weather tomorrow. And they probably had about as good weather forecasting as we have today sometimes. Or sometimes they'd say it'll be stormy because the sky is red and threatening. And they were right enough of the time that they felt pretty proud of their weather forecasting abilities. The Pharisees were focusing on the most minute details of their traditions as a means of being right with God. And so all these little things. I know I've used the example of the egg that you could or could not eat on the Sabbath day as one. But another would be, for example, you're not to look in the mirror on the Sabbath day because you might see a gray hair and pluck it out, which would be work. And they were concerned about things like that. They were very concerned about that. Didn't want to eat the wrong egg. Because if you ate the egg that the chicken for laying ate, that would have made the chicken work. You don't want to do that. But if the chicken was a chicken you were raising to eat the chicken, well, it was just an accident that laid an egg. You could eat the egg. And they worry about those things. And they condemn those who didn't follow those rules. And there's lots and lots of them. Those are just two of them. There are many, many rules. They sought for a sign. And Jesus says, you're not going to get a sign except the sign of Jonah. Now, if you think back to the Old Testament and you remember the story of Jonah, and Jonah was sent to Nineveh. He didn't want to go there because those were his enemies, and he didn't want to preach to the enemies and have the enemies repent and be made right with God and not destroyed. No way. No way am I going there. And so he went the other way. He got in the boat, and of course the storm rose, and they were about to be swamped and drowned, and they asked, what's causing this? And Jonah had to confess. He was the cause. And if they just threw him overboard, they'd be okay. And so they did, finally. And the big fish ate him. And he stayed in the belly of that fish for 3 days. And that's the sign that Jesus is pointing them to. Because he would be crucified and would be put in the grave. And on that third day, he would rise again. On that third day, of course, for Jonah, he got spat up from the fish onto the shore. And the people would have read that story. They would have known that story because that was part of their scripture. They didn't understand, of course. It was pointing to Jesus and his resurrection. They didn't realize that Jesus' coming was the greatest possible sign that they could be given, that God was present and would deliver his people from the penalty for sin as he had promised long, long ago. His coming into this world by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Virgin Mary, he came into this world without inheriting the sin of Adam. He had been faithfully keeping God's law, God's real law, not the traditions of the Pharisees, but the real law of God he faithfully kept. And he completely resisted the temptations of Satan when he went out into the wilderness. He performed miracles that showed forth his power as God the Son, and he faithfully taught God's holy word. This one was there in their presence, right there with them. And they did not believe, even though he was there. And so, that sign, now of course, we can look back, and they can look back, they still don't want to believe. Because it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to open a heart and to give that faith. And they were not among those who were so blessed. Well, Jesus goes on and he uses this and other events to teach his disciples to be discerning. See, the Pharisees and the Sadducees had a leavening effect upon Israel. They were in power. They had authority. They were the teachers. They were the leaders. yeast, when you go to make a loaf of bread, those who have made one, you put a little yeast in there, you got that little packet, and you put it in, and there's a lot more stuff in the bowl than that little packet of yeast. But you stir it, and you put it in the, wherever it's supposed to go to rise. I'm not much of a bread maker, so I'll defer to others on that. But that yeast spreads through that whole lump of dough. And it rises up. And so it was a little thing sitting in the bowl, and it fills that bowl. Well, that's what happened with the teachings of the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, the leaders of Israel, the ones who were supposed to be proclaiming the truth of God and leading the people to trust in God and to trust in the promised Messiah that their scripture pointed to. And instead, they were leading them astray. And all those side issues, all those rules and regulations that were so important to them were leading the people away so that they would not understand and would not realize that the one who had been promised was right there in their midst. And so their false teachings had a tremendous effect. And the people became caught up in them. And the people followed the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. And they believed that if they kept all the traditions, they would be blessed by their works. And God, of course, does not teach us that in His Word. Jesus teaches His disciples here that they must not allow themselves to fall into the same trap that the Pharisees and Sadducees had fallen into, of not properly interpreting what God had done, and instead evaluating Jesus based on their own worldly understanding. See, even those closest to Jesus had trouble fully grasping the significance of what Jesus did. We see that with His disciples. Here they had been with Him and they had seen these miracles. They had seen Him feeding the 5,000 and then the 4,000. And all the other miracles that He had done. They didn't understand and they struggled. They often struggled, and I think we can relate to that. We struggle too sometimes to understand what God is teaching. And so Jesus had to make things clear to them. You see, Jesus spoke of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and of course He's speaking about these false teachings that had spread throughout Israel and had led the people astray. And He's telling His disciples, beware of those things. Don't follow those traditions. Don't follow those things that are leading the people away from God. Don't do that. But instead they thought, leaven, bread. Oh, we forgot to bring the bread. He's hungry. He needs a piece of bread. We don't have any bread. He just made enough bread to feed 4,000 people just before this. And they didn't get it. And they were right there with Him. They often didn't understand, at least at the time. And it's another example right here. It's hard for us to understand why they failed, but we need to recognize that we too have those same failings within us. The disciples' failure to put things together shows how easily we can misinterpret what should be obvious to us. And that's why Jesus came down kind of hard on them. Because what He was saying was pretty obvious. They had seen that leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They had seen it. They were living with it. They were all around them. They should have noticed. And so we wonder, why couldn't they realize But what we see here is the disciples interpreting what was happening based on the principles of ordinary, everyday life. And just thinking about things in the day-to-day life experience, rather than the eternal truths that Jesus was trying to present to them. And so Jesus had to explain. And he did. And they finally got it. They understood in verse 12. He did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Well, there's some important lessons for us as we look at this passage, as we consider what God teaches us here. First, we need to pay close attention to what the whole Scripture taken together teaches. And we need to be very careful in our study and application of the Scripture. Scripture needs to be used to interpret Scripture. And so when you have a passage that seems unclear, it's important to take the time to study the Scripture and to find where the rest of the Scripture makes that passage a little more clear. And that's one of the things that we send our young men to seminary to learn, to gather the ability to do the research. And so sometimes you're going to come up with a question that as you study it, it's just not clear. And one of the reasons that we seek to call a pastor is that we will have someone who is able to do that study and to help you understand. It's very important that we carefully study the Scripture. We don't pluck a verse here and there and say, this is my verse for the day. This is what I am going to live by. I still remember, and I'm sure I've given this example as well, something that I had heard of the young person who decided they're going to figure out what their schedule for the day was and what God had called them to do this day by closing their eyes, flipping open a page and putting their finger down, and they read, and Judas hanged himself. And, that wasn't too good, and so we flipped over, closed our eyes, and whatsoever thou doest, and do thou likewise, rather. That was number two. And do thou likewise. It's getting a little too deep here. Let's try again. And we flip, and we close our eyes, and we put our finger down, and whatsoever thou doest, do quickly. So you know what that passage would be teaching there, right? Go and hang yourself quickly. Does the Scripture teach that? Scripture says, thou shalt not kill, among many other things. Be careful how you study the Scripture. Be diligent in your study of the Scripture. Be diligent to seek the truth that God is teaching through His Word. Jesus was teaching. He was teaching verbally to these disciples, and He was proclaiming the truth to them. They needed to be thinking about these things, meditating on them. How does this all fit together? How does this fit together with the Scripture as we know it? Of course, they had the Old Testament Scriptures. We have the New Testament now, so we have the whole thing. We then also need to be careful not to interpret Scripture from any worldly perspective. And so we don't evaluate Scripture from a political perspective. We're in a political year here. And whether we're conservative or liberal or libertarian or anything in between, that's not how we judge God's Word. We judge what the conservatives, the liberals, and the libertarians are telling us by God's Word. You see the difference there. God's word is the standard, the infinite, perfect standard. Not what all the politicians around us are saying. We examine what they say on the basis of this. Also, we need to be careful not to evaluate Scripture from the perspective of worldly philosophies. There are many worldly philosophies out there, worldly philosophers, and we can gain some interesting insights by studying what they teach. But we need to evaluate what they teach based on the Scripture, God's holy word. That's the infinite, perfect standard that we evaluate all those philosophies by. And then we're not to look for signs beyond what God has recorded for us in the Scripture. These Pharisees and Sadducees kept coming, looking for signs. Not really because they wanted proof of Jesus. They wanted to discredit him, of course. But we're not to be looking for signs. God has given us his word. We have it right here. He has given us his Holy Spirit to apply that word in our hearts. The signs that he did that are recorded in the Scripture are recorded there so that we will know that Jesus really is the Christ, the promised Messiah. They were done to authenticate that ministry and then later the ministry of the apostles. But all that's been recorded for us, and we don't need anything else. We just need God's Holy Spirit applying that word in our hearts. And so don't look for other signs. And then we're to turn away from any teachings that contradict what we find in the Scripture. And there are many teachings out there, many different approaches to things. The Scripture must be our standard. And so let us learn to be discerning. Let us approach God's Word with hearts open to receive it and to be taught by it and to be built up in our faith and in our understanding by it. And let us rejoice in that great blessing God has given by providing us his word. His word that points clearly to Jesus and leads us to see him as the one who came and who died on the cross and who rose again in victory over sin and death. Are you trusting in him as your Lord and Savior? Are you looking to his word to apply in your lives? Are you seeking his Spirit to sanctify you and to make you more and more like Christ? God has blessed us in tremendous ways. Let us rejoice in that. And let us commit our ways unto him and not turn aside to anything that is not in accordance with this word. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we do rejoice in your blessing. For you didn't leave us alone to try and figure things out. But you sent Jesus, and he taught. And you gave us men to write down the truth of your word. And you give us your Spirit to apply that word in our hearts and to sanctify us, to build us up in our faith. And Lord, we pray for those that do not yet have that faith. Oh God, make us diligent in preaching the truth to them and confronting them with that truth and in seeking your Spirit to open their hearts to believe, as you have blessed so many of us with. And so, give us discernment, O God, and help us to rejoice as we think of all the great and wonderful things you have done for us through Christ our Lord. Amen.